All right, so good afternoon. So my name is Zachary Jones, and I'm a PhD candidate in maize breeding with Major Goodman and Matt Krakowski at North Carolina State University. And today I'm going to talk about some work that we sort of over-elaborately titled Screening Maize Tropical Derived Lines and NAM Founders for Gametophytic Alleles, Risk Assessment and New Opportunities. So a little bit of background on the system that we've been working with. So we work with Gametophyte Factor 1, which is a locust in maize which produces non-reciprocal cross-sterility, which we'll talk about in a minute. But in essence, all this really does is it produces these pollen-blocking phenotypes that have been used extensively in the popcorn industry, and now we're trying to use in the organic industry to prevent pollen-mediated gene flow between conventional and organic crops. And it basically works like this. So when we look at the alleles at the locus, we have this little GA, which is sort of the null type, or the assumed null type, and this GA1S, which is the barrier type. And when we look at the pollen relationships, so a GA1S homozygote will completely block little GA1 pollen, as indicated by the X, but the reciprocal pollination is perfectly fertile. So when you make the cross, it looks like this. So no seed set pollen going this way, completely fertile the other way. And this has been the entire basis of the knowledge about this system for many years, but as you can see, there's this other allele here that people have basically ignored for most of the work on this system. And this is where things get interesting. So there's this third allele that Major refers to as a promiscuous allele, but it's referred to as gametophyte factor 1 male, and it basically breaks the system. So GA1M from a pollen standpoint looks exactly like a GA1S haplotype, so it's able to overcome a GA1S barrier, but doesn't produce a barrier itself. So this basically leaves the systems open to pollen-mediated gene flow, which is especially problematic because people who are utilizing this GA1S system are strongly reliant on having pure grain. So here's the real problem, is that you only know if you have GA1M in the presence of GA1S. So the only way to know that it's there is to see if it can overcome a homozygous GA1S barrier. So the real concern for us is that a GA1M traded, so like a commercial hybrid, from a popcorn standpoint would contaminate seed production. So you would have pop by dent F1s in the bag, which would be terrible for the popcorn companies. It would contaminate popcorn field production, which is problematic because the entire industry is marketed as a non-GM crop. And it would have similar effects in my own work and all these other gametophytic systems that people are using, especially in organic and white corn breeding. And basically all this adds up to money lost. So there's been some proposal of these two other gametophytic systems, GA1S and TCB1S, which are parallel systems. So the first thought in, you know, sort of solving this was, oh, we'll just use GA2S or TCB1S. But as you can see, they have these parallel M alleles that no one knows anything about. We actually know less about the M alleles at these two systems. So that was sort of our question of interest. So we want to determine the abundance of these M-type alleles in a diverse subset of maize. But really, we want to look at things that are historically important, and things that are most likely to be used from a tropical standpoint where these alleles are known to be abundant. So how do we pick, you know, from the wide diversity of maize? We basically picked two sets that represented the sort of two objectives that we had. So we took the maize nested association mapping founder lines, actually plus Missouri 17, and then we took germplasm enhancement of maize lines because of our use with them, and they sort of represent the best of the tropical materials that are ready to be used. We took the Suwan and downy mildew resistant from the Philippine populations because of their one use in GEM and widespread use in Asia. And we took the two or three Zapolote Chico populations because of their earliness, which we thought would be a concern as the Corn Belt shifts to the north. But one major point is that the maize nested association mapping founder lines have been extensively studied. And there's only one previously reported gametophyte factor in this set, and it's in a popcorn line. So if you're willing, I would like to take you on a field trip here. So this is our nursery this year, and this is what we had planted out. So we have these ranges of a little GA1S tester Here are the NAM founder lines planted in single rows, surrounded by all three of the S-type systems. And then at the back, we have sets of GEM lines, as well as the Suwon, DMR, and Zapalote-Chico sets here. So then using the experimental lines, so the NAMs and the tropical collections as male, we cross those on to GA1S, GA2S, and TCB1S testers. And our expectations are basically that we would do all of this pollinating and get absolutely no seed. So none of these things, based on what we knew about them, especially in the NAM set, should pollinate GA1S, GA2S, or TCB1S testers, except for HP301, which is GA1S itself. And we also knew that because GA1S was in HP301, if we used it as female, that we should get no seed set from anything else that we had planted. So we did this experiment, and we found that that's entirely not true. So we found that 13 of the 27 NAM founder lines, plus Missouri 17, had M-type gametophytic alleles at least one locus. So here's a table showing the NAM founder lines here. And you can see the shading are alleles that we identified. So here's the previously known HP301 GA1S. And here are the 21 new M-type gametophytic alleles that we reported in this paper. So as you can see, these M-type alleles are, one, capable of hiding. If they can hide in the NAM set that's been extensively studied and scrutinized, they can probably hide in a commercial breeding program, which is especially problematic because there's no way that a company breeder is going to be screening for this. And here are the pictures, just in case no one believes me. Jim Holland said, take pictures, no one will believe you. So here you can see using HP301 as female, NC350, NC368, and since Bill Tracy's in the room, it looks like the GA2 or the sweet corns may be uniformly GA2M, so I'm especially interested in this. So our results, so we had 21 reports of new gametophytic alleles in NAM. And then when we dive into the tropical materials, it was a lot more variable. So the GEM lines we found in 8 of 64 had M-type, or GA1M, but the Suwon and DMR types had a really high abundance in our small set, but this is sort of representative of the Suwon and DMR lines. And then the Zapalote-Chicos were uniformly GA1M, but we admittedly screened a pretty small subset. So this is basically absolutely terrible for the people that use GA1S systems. So our basic conclusions here are that M-type gametophytic alleles are much more common in maize than previously thought, and that if M-type alleles can go undetected in a set as highly studied as the NAM founders, then our assumptions about the distribution of alleles at this locus have to be wrong. So what do we do? So we can think about how this system works as sort of a lock and key. So here you can see the lock is sort of the silk barrier, and the key is the pollen. And basically for every independent gametophytic system we add, you add sort of one tumbler. So here you can see we have one tumbler for GA1 with the S allele here, and then a matching M or S allele on the pollen haplotype. And you can see that that sort of lines this up so the lock can open. So you can see that here. So when the lock is able to open, you're able to achieve fertilization. But when you have a mismatch, the pollen is blocked. So we can basically think about a way to protect this system is we have known locks. We know what we deploy in the field. And we basically need a system where no random keys can open it. So here in an example, we've added, see, three tumblers, so a GA1, a GA2, and a TCB1S allele. And you can see that even though we're compatible at two loci, because we're incompatible at this GA2 locus, this pollen haplotype would not overcome this silk barrier. So this basically, we're trying to create a system where we're trying to reduce the probability that a random key, that a random pollen haplotype next to our protected type, our popcorn type, wouldn't be able to overcome this. And we can see by looking at basically the three systems, the S-type barriers are represented here in black, and the pollen M-types and S-types that they block are here in red. So you can see that by having any two systems, it's entirely sufficient to block all pollen but its own with a couple of assumptions. So this is where we think we have a potential solution. So you can use combinations of these systems. So GA1S and GA2S, for example, would block everything but its own pollen. So like if you had just GA1M, then GA2 would block it. Just GA2M, GA1 would block it, unless they're double M types. So this is sort of a concern for us, but it effectively decreases the risk by half if you assume that the probability of having one type allele is sort of randomly distributed about the maize that might be growing next to your field. But we do see some association, especially between GA1 and TCB alleles. You see that, you know, very often, or sometimes at least, when you have one, you have the other. So that's something that we note might be an issue. And that's sort of expected, because GA1 and TCB1S are loosely linked on the short arm of chromosome 4. But we point out in our paper on this that GA1S and GA2S are on separate chromosomes, so the alleles at those loci should be independent. So we propose this as sort of a best system. And stacking all three of these makes a much better system. And we do have some breeding lines available if anyone's interested in diving into this. We're hoping to release them to the Germplasm Center later this year, or you can just send me an email. And then in looking at this and comparing our results to results from other studies, we really noted that there's a huge inadequacy when we consider the phenotyping methods at these three systems. So basically everyone's always used this sort of decision tree, and I don't really have time to dive all that much into it, but in the past people have, when exploring the alleles at the three gametophytic systems that are most common, people have just used this one tree three times. So they establish an allele system, but in reality, you almost always have interaction between these loci. So having an M-type allele at one locus may block something. So we point out that this is inadequate, and in reality, this is the only appropriate decision tree, unless you can show that there is definitely only one gametophytic allele, which is especially problematic considering the nature of the M-type alleles. And we hope that this better decision tree will help sort of the geneticists get better phenotypes so that we can maybe actually get at the genes causing this. People have had a terrible time. No one's ever cloned GA1S, and I think this poor phenotyping may contribute substantially to that. So our total general conclusions are that M-type gametophytic alleles are much more common in maize than anyone previously thought, and this is a serious concern for popcorn breeders and producers, especially because of the non-GM nature of the entire commodity. We believe that combinations of systems offer much better protection, but note that if M alleles are strongly associated, that this is something that really needs to be assessed. We need to look into how common these other types of keys are. Potentially, we can use other gametophytic systems. There are several others, but the three that I talked about are the most commonly used. And we believe that current phenotyping methods are insufficient to determine allele status at multiple loci. And we believe this will be important, especially as we move away from this single gametophytic system setup to multiple gametophytic systems. We also believe that this new decision tree that we're proposing will be helpful for individuals who are after this from a genetic perspective. For more details, we have the paper under review in Crop Science. It's Identification of M-type Gametophyte Factors in Maize Genetic Resources. Or you can shoot me an email, zgjones@ncsu.edu. And with that, I'll leave you with this beautiful picture of our research station in Clayton, North Carolina. Are there questions? Yeah, we're very interested in finding out if you're willing to do the study.
We know somebody who might be willing to help.
All right. Are there other questions? Nope. Thank you.